Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Today we do the sixth and final part of the Apostles' Creed, which Christians have been saying for almost 2,000 years. I believe in one God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Jesus Christ. Last week we did I believe in the Holy Spirit. Today we're doing our last session on what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? I heard of a pastor who was preaching and he filled a pitcher with water and he put it like here, and while he was preaching he intentionally bumped the pitcher, and I won't do it, but I don't want to wet the cameras here, but the water went flying all over the church. And he made this point. Pastor said, when you get bumped, what you're filled with spills out. When you get bumped, what you're filled with spills out. I think of Peter. On the night Jesus was betrayed, Peter got bumped, and three times it came out of his mouth, I don't know the Christ, I don't know the Christ, I don't know the Christ. Then at Pentecost, he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and he gets bumped again. You stop preaching, Peter, or we're going to kill you. And he says, I have to obey God rather than men. Kill me if you must. So when you're bumped, what you're filled with spills out. I thought of a dear Christian pastor who's now with the Lord, but he was an older man and his wife is in the back seat and he's next to me and I'm driving them to a pastor's conference and it was snowy and my car went over the curb way down in the ditch and we're bouncing like this for a few seconds. And this pastor said, Lord Jesus, save us. You know, something else could have come out of his mouth. And so what I want us to do on this program is ask the question, what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what comes out? Let's pray first. Father God, we would pray that everyone watching this show would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, teach us who the Holy Spirit is. Teach us, Lord, what He does in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me review last week when I talked about who is the Holy Spirit. And if you remember, the answer is the Holy Spirit is God. That is taught in Acts chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 3. Jesus said it in the book of John, Jesus, God is Spirit. And we say that the Holy Spirit is the third person of God because you can grieve this. He's not a force or a wind. He's a person in the sense that you can grieve Him. He talks in the book of Acts. So again, Christians believe that there's only one God, but in God are three eternal persons, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's God. Now we get to the question of what does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? We're going to talk about eight things. Number one, the first thing the Holy Spirit does, He converts you. 1 Corinthians 12 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Do you know that you didn't convert you? Martin Luther wrote these words 500 years ago. I believe in the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In other words, you didn't convert you. The Holy Spirit converted you. I've shared this story on TV before, but years ago I had a friend named Buddy. One day he said, Tom, did I ever tell you how I got saved? A friend wanted me to go to his church. I did not want to go, but there was a special evangelist. So I went, and I'm leaning on the back wall of the church, and the evangelist says, if you've never accepted Christ, come forward. And my friend Buddy said, I felt something push me in the back. And I turned around, bricks. Second time, if you've never accepted Christ, come forward. He said a second time, I felt this push in the back. Third and final time, if you've never accepted Christ. And Buddy said the third time, the push was so strong that he kind of stumbled on his feet, went all the way up to the altar, and got saved that night. I think that's the Holy Spirit. If you're saved, it's not because you did it. The Holy Spirit is the one who opened your heart. Number one thing the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer, he's the one who converted you. Second thing the Holy Spirit does, Jesus said in John chapter 16, when the Spirit comes, he will convict the world of sin. So the second thing the Holy Spirit does, he convicts us of sin. I remember a lady once in new members class says, Pastor Brock, I didn't realize what a sinner I am until I started coming to this church. And I said to her, I think one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he shows us our sins and our need for Christ. So the Holy Spirit does convict us of our sins, but we need to make a careful distinction. The Holy Spirit convicts, he doesn't condemn. Do you know what the word devil means literally in the New Testament Greek? The slanderer, the accuser. The devil loves to accuse us of our sins. The Holy Spirit doesn't that. He'll convict you, but he doesn't condemn you. For in Romans 8, for in Christ there is no condemnation. It is said that 500 years ago, Martin Luther, who could be rather guilt-ridden, the devil would come to Luther and recant all of Luther's sins. And supposedly what Luther would say was, you're right, devil, it's all true, but let me take you to the cross. There on the cross, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So Satan, you must be quiet because my sins have been forgiven. The Holy Spirit converts us. He convicts us. The third thing the Holy Spirit does, this is from Romans chapter 8. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the next thing the Spirit does, the Spirit assures believers of their salvation. Now, do you ever doubt your salvation? There are days I kind of do, because I'm so sinful and God's so holy, and am I really saved? And I know in my head I'm saved, but sometimes it's hard for me to believe in my heart I'm saved. And that's when the Holy Spirit steps in there and assures, Tom, your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life by the grace of God. One day a little boy was flying a kite. His kite got so far out there you couldn't see it anymore. An elderly gentleman comes by, little boy, what are you doing? Well, mister, I'm flying my kite. Man looks up, I don't see any kite. How do you know there's a kite out there? And the little boy said, mister, I can feel the tug. What keeps us saved, what assures us that we're saved, Christian people, is the Holy Spirit is the one who overcomes all of our doubts. Next thing the Holy Spirit does, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power and become witnesses of me. That's the next thing the Holy Spirit does. He gives you power to witness. So after the Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit comes inside of the disciples, when they get bumped, they just start witnessing. A few days ago, I was at a garage sale. I'm looking through the stuff. And here's an older woman with two younger women sitting at a table doing the garage sale. And while I'm looking, I hear the older woman say, well, I'm not going to forgive her. And then the younger woman said, I wouldn't either. Remember when you forgave her mother, how that went? I wouldn't forgive her either. And I'm about to leave the garage sale. And this was unusual. I had no plans of doing this. I'm leaving the garage sale. I lean down toward the table and smile. And I say, I'm a pastor. I think you should forgive her. And I went my merry way. But, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit just bumps you and it comes out. This morning I went to the store. And I often take these little, salvation pamphlets and I put them in my pocket. Because at a garage sale, this morning at the store, it just seemed right to give this to a person. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you start witnessing. You start sharing your faith. Next thing the Holy Spirit does. From Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. The next thing the Holy Spirit does, he produces obedience in us. Now, it doesn't say it's perfect obedience. and because we'll sin till the day we die, but it's a general obedience. So let me ask you this. Generally, normally, do you follow the Lord? That's the Holy Spirit in your life. I will tell you that I was watching the national news, and one of the correspondents said, I'm a homosexual, I'm a Christian, I'm looking forward to the day I can marry a man. I found his email, and I wrote him a letter, an email, and I said, I'm a pastor, and I've struggled with that pull towards same-sex attraction most of my life, but don't go there. 1 Corinthians 6 says, if you go there and you live in that sin, you're not going to heaven. And I sent it to him, and he sent me back very polite, thank you, Pastor Brock, but I've been reading this book, and he gave me the name of the book, and it's written by a Christian who has homosexuality in his life, and the point of his book is the Bible doesn't really say what it says. So I wrote him back. I said, yes, it does. And sadly, I later saw that he married a man. You know, we all sin, but if you have the Holy Spirit, you can't live in sin. He produces obedience in our hearts. Not perfect obedience, but when you do sin, you repent, and you get back up, you don't live in it. J.B. Phillips said these words, every time we say the words in the creed, I believe in the Holy Spirit, we mean that we believe there is a living God able and willing to enter human personality and change it. So the Holy Spirit converts us, convicts us, gives us assurance of our salvation, gives us power to witness, produces obedience. The next thing the Holy Spirit does in our life, Jesus said this in John chapter 14, I will ask the Father, and he will send you another helper, paraclete, one called alongside to help. The word, the Holy Spirit helps us through life. I've had widows say, you know, Pastor Brock, the day of my husband's funeral, it was like the Lord picked me up and carried me through that day. Somebody gave me this little sculpture here of how, in, I think it's Isaiah, says, God says, I have carved you in the palm of my hand, how God helps us and takes care of us through life. So last week at the garage sale, I want to tell you, when I was 14, I played a mean trumpet. I was first chair trumpet, Valley View Junior High School. So I was pretty good. But then in high school, I quit. Well, I'm at a garage sale last week, and I find a trumpet for $30. So I bought it. I thought I'm going to start playing this more, hopefully. I can still kind of play. It's not so good. But I got home, and the tuning valves are stuck. So I took the oil, and I sprayed them down the tuning valves. They're still stuck. So I took this very mallet, and I pounded, thinking I was going to get them unstuck. And I put this dent in my new trumpet. So now what I'm going to do, I'm going to have to go to Schmidt Music Store and have the expert unstick my trumpet. But I'm telling you that story because there is a point in all that. And here's the point. You can go through life trying to bang things out on your own and making a mess. Or you can go and pray to the Holy Spirit, who is our master fix-it man, and say, Holy Spirit, get me through this, help me through this, and call on the Holy Spirit to help you. Next thing the Holy Spirit does, from John chapter 16, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will teach you all things. So the next thing the Spirit does, he teaches you. I want to make a big point, though, now. Understand this. The Holy Spirit, when he teaches you, never contradicts the Scriptures. Because remember, 2 Timothy chapter 3, all Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, so he's not going to contradict himself and say something different than what he wrote. Let me give you an example. Years ago, when I was still in the very liberal evangelical Lutheran church in America, I had a discussion with a very liberal pastor who was promoting homosexuality in the church. And I put before him Romans chapter 1. I said, this is so clear. It's a sin. And his response? The Holy Spirit is giving us a higher consciousness on that issue than the Apostle Paul had when he wrote Romans in the first century. Did you catch that? This pastor's right, but the Holy Spirit and the Apostle Paul are wrong. No, you don't. The Holy Spirit never contradicts Scripture. And let me say this too about the Holy Spirit. Don't put your words in the Holy Spirit's mouth. You know, I had an aunt, Marge, wonderful woman, Christian woman, maybe the most Christian woman in her family. But her flaw was she liked to tell you now and then words of the Lord, and they sure sounded like Aunt Marge's opinions. So, you know, don't confuse your opinions or your strong feelings either with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will never contradict Scripture. Story of a dad that wanted to teach this to his son. So he and his son are hiking through the woods, and dad shows Jimmy the compass. And Jimmy, I can make this compass point any direction I want to. Watch. Compass point north. It pointed north. Compass point south. It pointed south. Compass point, little boy, huh? And well, dad had a magnet, and he was going like this underneath the compass. Don't do that to the Holy Spirit. Don't try to make the Holy Spirit say what you want him to say. Just read your Bible and let the Holy Spirit say what he wants to say to you. One last thing to say about the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now the Holy Spirit distributes to each one individually as he wills for the common good. Each one has a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. In other words, here's the last thing the Holy Spirit does. He gives every Christian a gift. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. You have at least one of these gifts. Listen and see what yours is. Here are the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to three different lists in the New Testament. Speaking, serving, prophesying, teaching, helping, administration, encouragement, contributing, leadership, evangelism, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, hospitality. And so hear this. Every Christian's job is to discover, what's my spiritual gift? And then to use that the rest of your life, serving the Lord where you're gifted. That's where you're going to be used the most. And if you don't know what your Holy Spirit is, and if you're not using your gifts, you're missing the purpose for which God put you on the planet. So find out what your spiritual gift is and use it to serve God to your glory. Well, let's review. The Holy Spirit converts us. He convicts us of sin. He assures us that we are children of God. He gives us power to witness. He teaches us. He, what else? Gives every Christian a gift. I think I missed one or two. But let's put, now we're down to the Apostles' Creed. Apostles' Creed goes all the way back to before 250 AD. Christians have been saying this creed for 2,000 years. Let's put all 6 weeks together. Do you remember this? Christianity needs to be personal. Believe in, that means I trust. God, singular. Christians are monotheists. There's only one God and three persons. God the Father. God wants a personal relationship with you, a loving relationship with you. He's almighty. That means he's omnipotent. He can do anything. He's the creator of heaven and earth. That means the purpose of the world and your purpose is to glorify God. I believe in God the Father almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus. The word Jesus means Jehovah saves. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's not his last name. The word Christ is a title. It means the anointed one. When you say Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus is the Christ, God's only begotten Son. There's only been one incarnation. One time God became a human being. He is God's only Son. Every Christian is to be part of the church, Lord. The word Lord means Jesus is God, and he's also our master, we're his slaves. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. That's so Jesus wouldn't inherit original sin, and so Jesus would be perfect. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. That means he really became human, really paid for the sins of human being. He descended into hell after he died. He didn't go there to pay for our sins further because that was finished on the cross. It is finished. But he went there, it says in 1 Peter 3, to make proclamation to the spirits in prison. He descended into hell. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He ascends into heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. What it means when he says he's at God the Father's right hand, God the Father has given Jesus the highest place in the universe. That's what right hand means. If you gave a party and you put your guest of honor at the right hand. He's got the highest place at your party. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Everybody will be judged by Jesus Christ. He determines whether you spend eternity in heaven or hell, so make sure you accept Christ. Last words, I believe in the Holy Spirit, who is God. I believe in the Holy Catholic or Christian Church. Every Christian is to be part of the church. I believe in the communion of saints. That means every Christian is to be part of the believing church. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, hallelujah. I love that in the Creed. And the life everlasting. Everybody will live forever, either in heaven for eternity or in hell for eternity. So make sure you believe in the one true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Make sure you're trusting Jesus for your salvation. So when you have life everlasting, you go to the right place. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor's Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today is, how can I discover which of the gifts of the Holy Spirit I have?
Yes, there are 18 gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in three different places. If you put them all together, there's 18 gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament. It can be a process figuring out which one is my gift. I mean, you have to pray about it, Lord, show. And then I think after you pray about it, you ask some Christian friends, where do you think I'm gifted? What do you think I'm good at? Mm-hmm. And in his time, he will show you what your gift is.
Yeah. Can a person have more than one gift?
I think so. It never says you can only get one. So I think it's possible to have the gift of, we'll say, preaching and mercy, or hospitality and speaking in tongues. So yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Good.
But I want to tell you, the big deal on this, I mean, Mona, you don't want to put me in charge of the financial administration of anything. My checkbook hasn't balanced for years, but I'm good at preaching. So if you're good at preaching, preach. If you're good at finances and administration, do that. But don't spend most of your time doing an area where you're not gifted. It doesn't help as well.
Doesn't work, does it?
No, it doesn't.
And you are gifted in preaching.
Well, thank you.
How does a person receive the Holy Spirit?
Well, in the book of Acts chapter 2, it's Pentecost. The disciples are filled with the Spirit. They go out and preach. 3,000 get saved. And Peter says to the crowd, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there, baptism is connected to the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, into one spirit you were all baptized. And when Jesus got baptized in water, what happened to him? The Spirit came down upon him. So I think the norm is you get water baptized. And I would say to anybody who's never been baptized, that's a big deal. Get baptized. Now, on the other hand, God can work outside the box. Mm-hmm. The thief on the cross, to our knowledge, was never baptized, but we know he went to heaven. So God the Holy Spirit can work apart from baptism and even before baptism and even after baptism. And then the other thing Jesus said, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So I believe I have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will never leave me, but I can quench the Spirit, the Bible says, so I continually ask God, fill me with the Holy Spirit today. He doesn't leave, but you can quench him.
So as a baby, do you feel when they're baptized, they receive the Holy Spirit then?
I do. Now, this is a controversy, but Catholics, Lutherans, Methodists, Episcopalians have all believed that even from birth, God wants to save people. Mm-hmm. So because we're born with original sin, we're all born sinners. So my Baptist friends would disagree, but that's the way I understand the Bible.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I am not sure of my salvation, does that mean I don't have the Holy Spirit?
We just preached Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Now, can you be saved and not be sure you're saved? I think you can. I think I lived like that for a number of years. I don't want to live like that ever again. I know I'm saved now because I'm saved by grace, not by good works. Mm-hmm. So that light bulb just changed my life when I discovered because of Christ's death, I can know for sure I'm saved. But I think there are people who are truly saved that have doubts, and don't we all? Mm-hmm. And so that those people are saved as well, as long as you're trusting in Christ.
The next question, what is speaking in tongues?
Yep. When the apostles in Acts chapter 2 got filled with the Spirit, they went out into the streets. There were people from all over the ancient world. And all of a sudden, Peter can speak, we'll say, Laodicean or something, you know. And they were given the ability to speak in these languages that they couldn't speak. And people heard the gospel. 3,000 got saved. That's happened at Pentecost. The gift of speaking in tongues is you have are given a tongue, a language. And some people, it's Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. So maybe there's two kinds of tongues you can get, an angelic tongue or a human tongue, like the apostles got, you know, Greek and Latin or whatever. It wouldn't have been Latin, but you know. And so a lot of Christians get what's called the gift of tongues, and they speak in this language to God when they pray. Like, I have this gift, Mona, and I normally talk to God in English. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'll say, Lord, whatever needs to be said, and I'll just speak in this tongue. And it's not spooky. I don't go into a trance. It's very normal. So that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
When you speak in tongues, do you understand what you're speaking?
No, I don't. No. Mm-hmm. And that's the gift of interpretation is when you go to church and somebody stands up and speaks in a tongue, mm-hmm. the person with the gift of interpretation can tell the whole Christian body there what you just said. Yeah. So these are the gifts of the Spirit.
And I've heard that too. Yeah. Is speaking in tongues proof you have the Holy Spirit?
Some Pentecostals would teach that. I think the answer is no. Paul says in the book of Corinthians, not all speak in tongues, do they? And the answer to that question is no. Some people get the gift of healing, some interpretation, some are good teachers, some are good administrators. It never says in the Bible you have to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, often when people get filled with the Spirit, they speak in tongues. That's true. It never says every single time that happens, or you don't have the Holy Spirit if you don't. I mean, I think maybe a better sign, mm-hmm. Jesus said in Acts 1, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll witness. Do you witness? Do you share your faith? And I think that might even be a stronger sign than any if you're filled with the Spirit.
Can you ask for a special gift? I mean, can you desire a special gift?
Yeah, you can, and you can pray about it. But God says in Corinthians, the Holy Spirit apportions to each person as he wills.
Okay.
So the Holy Spirit decides what gift you get.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. If I don't talk to people about my faith, does that mean I do not have the Holy Spirit?
Right. We just quoted Jesus in Acts chapter 1, where when mm-hmm. you get the Spirit, you'll witness. So I think I'm not willing to say that you're not a Christian or you don't have the Spirit, but you start praying now, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me witness, because the world is lost and they mm-hmm. need to hear about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we talk more about the Holy Spirit in church? It seems we talk more about the Father and the Son.
Yeah, and that's true. And why is that? Some people call the Holy Spirit the shy member of the Trinity, because Jesus said when the Spirit comes, he'll bear witness of me. So when you get the Spirit, you talk about Jesus a lot. But Mona, we're out of time. So just, if you don't mind, I'll give everybody an update here. Thank you, everybody, for praying for our show. If you want to watch more of these shows, go to pastorstudy.org, right there. And you can watch all of our shows for free. If the Lord nudges you to support us, you'll see an address in a minute, or you can support us by going to our website online. And if you do that, tell us where you watch the show so we'll know where people are watching our program. But that is our 6-part series on the Apostles' Creed and believe in the one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit for all your life, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.